All right. If you do not have the notes from last time that I need to redo the name on it, if you do not have one and would like to have one, if you'll just raise your hand, we'll get one to you. Oh, we have several. Okay. If there's somebody, Brother Allen, thank you for jumping on that. All right. There are several there. All right. And we're a good ways down on that. We should be able to finish that this evening and to make some final comments. And by the way, with Brother Larry's testimony, wasn't that a blessing? Thank you, sir. Oh, I'll need that. All right. Yes, my prayer request. All right. I will definitely need that. All right. But the passage that he talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5 there, is you'll be hearing some more about that passage in the near future. What a glorious text that is. Just phenomenal. And he was exactly right, Brother Carollo, getting that to him, because that's exactly what it is. And what he did is he followed through on that, because there's probably those in the room tonight, and maybe your life is stressed or whatever else, maybe some things you just can't figure out. But by him reminding us of what God did for him, okay, and I don't want to teach it tonight even though I want to, all right, but I can't teach it tonight because we've got to get this done. But that is what was practiced tonight. It was communicated by this brother to that brother that was in need. Brother Carollo knew what that text said because of study or things that he had been through. But that's how God wants us to be able to be used of God. And the long and short of it, I guess I am going through it, aren't I? But it's so good. The long and short of it is he says that God comforts us. The idea is he comes alongside of us. That word is used sometimes for rebuke, sometimes for comfort, sometimes for exhort, sometimes for just, it has a variety, but it depends on the context, what's going on. And it says that God comforts us in all our tribulation. I haven't had every tribulation in the world. I haven't. I've had my share, but I haven't had every kind of tribulation. It says God comforts us in all my tribulation that I may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. And that's what we're going to look like. How do I use what God's done in my life? How can I come alongside, and if it's a rebuke, if it's encouragement, if it's comfort, if it's whatever it is that they're needing in their lives, if I haven't been through it, because you'll hear, well, if you haven't ever done that, you can't help that person unless you've walked in their moccasins. You know, you can't really do anything. So the point is, that's not what God says. He says he comforts us in all our tribulation, the ones I've been through, so that I can comfort them in any trouble. And God tells us how to do that. It's not just because we're smart. It's not just because we've been through everything, because we haven't. But God gives us a method of coming alongside, and depending on the setting, that God wants to use us in that person's life, not so that they think better of us, but so that they understand better how they can respond righteously in the setting they're in. And when they respond righteously in the setting they're in, God's at work. He's going to work in their favor, in their behalf, even as our brother Larry said tonight. And that just stirred my heart, brother. And so I'm glad I didn't teach that tonight. All right, here we are in Romans, M-A-N-S, Romans. And for those of you who just received the notes, we've already dealt with, this is a mini study on, you'll see it top at the top there, the spirit walk versus the fleshly walk. And so that's what I have every single day that comes around. I have the ability to walk after the Holy Spirit and His guidance according to the Word of God. I have the ability to walk after the flesh walk, the carnal walk, the worldly walk. Every single day. And it's not always ungodly, wicked things. In fact, most of the time, with those who I have, whom I have in front of me tonight, it's not wicked, ungodly things. They are those things that would get us to be distracted from what God wants us to pay attention to, or would lead us just incrementally away from what God's will in our lives, or just to take a deviation from what is righteous into the domain of the unrighteous. So it's not necessarily, although it could be, wicked, wicked, wicked. It may just be well, this is a little departure. It's not really a wicked thing. Other people can do it and do it righteously. But God doesn't want me to do that at this point in time in my life. So if I detour away and say it's okay because that there's nothing in the Bible that says that I can't do that. But if God wants me over here, and the only way I can do what this is, normally it's okay, but the only way for me to have that is over here, then it's removing me from being where God wants me to be. For example, the Apostle Paul, he was about to go into Asia Major on a missionary trip, right? And what did he receive? He received a call from where? Macedonia, okay, up north of the Aegean Sea. Instead of going eastward, he had to go westward, north and west, okay? Now, would Paul be doing righteous things going to Asia Major? Would he be telling people about Jesus, the death, the burial, the resurrection? Yes. But if he had said, no, we've got our plans, we've got our airfare made, we've got everything, well, maybe not airfare, we've got camel fare, we got it all ready to go that way. If he'd gone this way, he'd have been out of the will of God, right? Okay, that's what this is about, is walking after the Spirit walk. When you've got your plans maybe to do this, nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing maybe, or it could be a wrong thing too, but nonetheless, it's not God's will. I'm just saying what Brother Larry said. So proud of you, brother, in a good way, okay? I'm just thanking God that he said, okay, Lord, Holy Spirit, what's next? If it's a one-eye kind of thing, that's okay. I've had to go through that exact same thing, brother, not because of a snap, but because of something that happened to me. And so whenever I read with one eye. I just do. When I drive, I close both eyes. No, I don't. All right? Keep both eyes open. But I do have to be careful. My depth perception and all that, I have to be very, very careful. So the point I'm trying to make is that's what we want to do, is walk after the Spirit walk. Okay? So, verses 1 through 4, Spirit-led, flesh denied, condemnation removed. Now, we do have blanks, and those of you who just got it, I'll not take time to give those. Maybe a neighbor can do that for you, or I'll be glad to do it after the service. So we finish that, verses 5 through 13. That's spirit denied or ignored. That's condemnation received. Condemnation received. Then we go all the way down, is where we finished at the last bullet under that section, and it's all in bold print. It says, if Christ is in you, the body is dead. We really emphasized this as we were rushing to bring it to a conclusion last time. The body is dead. But the Spirit is life. Because of the righteousness, therefore, you are not a debtor. You have no obligation to live after the flesh. We're a new creature in Christ. Amen. We've been quickened or made alive by the Holy Spirit, the Bible gives record. So we have no debt. There's nothing on the account. Our sister gave testimony tonight that there was an account that was made and it was sent to her saying, pay the bill. Or she heard about it anyway, pay the bill. Oh. But she said, wait a minute, I haven't used that card in years. I didn't do that. I didn't take a trip over there, although a trip would have been nice, but not to charge anything. And a trip, no, I hadn't been there either. And it was found out that it was wrong. It was fraudulent. And it was emptied. Okay? And that's what it's saying here. At one time, she had a debt, a legal debt, that was illegally put there. But as it appeared at the beginning, it was legal. You have a debt to pay. And sometimes that's what our old flesh will tell us. Why, you remember how you were? You're just under the thumb of the old flesh saying you're never going to have victory in your thought life. You're never going to have victory over that particular temptation, whatever it is. Oh, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Amen. Nothing is impossible with God. And with God, all things are what? Possible. And so to God be the glory. All right, let's go to verses 14 to 17 then. This is spirit-led evidence. And I guess I ought to open my Bible to the book of Romans chapter 8, shouldn't I? Romans chapter 8. Although it's spelled differently than my notes. Why would that be? All right, Romans chapter 8. And let's look at this next section beginning with verses 14 to 17. Tell you what let's do. Let's just go ahead and read that. Will we do that for us? All right, let's do that. This is Romans 8, beginning with verse 14 and ending with verse 17. Fellas, would you read that with me, please? Let's just allow the ladies to listen along. So this is Romans 8, beginning with verse 14, and it reads, "For we know that the law is spiritual." Am I not in it? That is a very good text, but it's not the text we're going to start with. All right. Something didn't sound right there. All right. I just was doing that to see if you'd catch it. And I'm proud of you. Yes. Larry, I'm proud of you, fellas. You passed. All right. Oh, my. Okay, here we go. Let's try that again. All right. This is verses 14 through 17, and I'll try to get it right this time. All right. And it reads again. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." There's so many times, I mentioned it just a moment ago, there's so many times that your old flesh will counsel you and tell you either how far you are away from God when you're not, or when you're not, it will tell you what a terrible person you were, or you will never get that out of your mind. Okay? And it haunts you. It just there is almost 24/7, and you try to think rightly, and you try to do this, and it's there all the time. Notice what he says here, verse 15. "For ye have not received the spirit, of bondage, again to fear." Now, were you in bondage before you were saved? Yes or no? Yes, of course. All right, but he says you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. But ye have received the spirit of what? Adoption. The word adoption there has like two or three things in mind, but it has the idea of the ability to approach. It has the ability to enjoy the fullness of being in a family. Okay, we've talked about that before. We'll not go over it a lot tonight. But it has the idea that instead of, here's the contrast, under one, you're under bondage. You're just there. You can't do anything about it. You've not received that, not from God. But because you are dead, your body is dead, you're a brand new person in Christ, this is left behind, and you've been quickened and made alive in Christ, and because of that, if you're walking after the Spirit, then you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You can come up alongside. Again, Brother Larry, I'm not trying to lift you up tonight, but I am saying this, that just like my brother, instinctively, if I could put it that way, because he had talked about it, because he had thought about it, he had said, I want to go the next step in my life. And the dwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives is not a it's some kind of another force that's floating around in the sky somewhere. But rather it is a third member of the Trinity, and he dwells within us, and he yearns for our hearts to be yielded to him. And he is grieved, and he can be, and just so many things that we've talked about, those five things. And yet he wants that intimate fellowship with us. So that when we are in crisis, so that we're in a place where we don't understand, when we don't have a ready answer at the moment's notice, that we can come. And we're not under bondage, where there's no hope. No hope, you're in bondage. You can't go anywhere, you have shackles on. You got handcuffs on. You're not going anywhere. No. But we've received the spirit of adoption, that loving invitation to come to your heavenly Father and say, Father, I need your help. And you're going to see how that transpires here in just a moment as time will allow us to do it. So let's go through the blanks here. This is spirit-based evidence in the believer's spirit and heart. The first bullet is led by the Spirit, the sons of God. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Okay, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Do you think that a Christian can never, is there a point in time, let's see. Is there, from the moment a person gets saved until he sees Jesus face to face, can there ever be a moment in time, this is probably not going to come out right, has there never been a time, let's put it that way, has there never been a time from the point that Christian accepted Christ until the point where he sees a face, sees the Lord face to face, in any Christian's life, has there never been a time when they were led by the Holy Spirit? That's an awkward question, kind of ambiguous. But I'm giving it by way of emphasis. No, the answer is no. Because the moment that person got saved, he was quickened by whom? The Holy Spirit's not going to quicken someone and immediately say, you're on your own, fella. I'm not going to lead you. No. That's why with some folks, it doesn't happen all the time, but with some folks, when they get saved, I've had them say to me a number of times, and I don't prompt them. Don't tell them, oh, you're going to feel like you're clean inside. I've had them say to me just as soon as they get off their knees or as soon as they finish, I feel so clean inside. Or there's those that have had a habit for years that are never tempted again. Now, it doesn't always happen. Sometimes they do have that taste, okay, of whatever it was or that whatever it was. And God seems to let them deal with that to live by faith instead of just being able to have it at will. So the point I'm trying to make is that we're not under bondage. We are led by the Holy Spirit. And if we're not being led by the Holy Spirit, then we need to go to the Holy Spirit. We need to go to the Father. We need to go to Lord Jesus, what's going on? I sense an absence of your presence. Now, that's not always because of sin. Sometimes God lets us walk through the valley of the shadow of death, so that we can grow our faith. Because he knows the caliber of faith and the quantity of faith that we're going to need a day from now, a week from now, and 10 years from now. And if he never allows us to build our faith, when we get to those settings when we need this much faith, and all we've developed is this much faith, then we'll not be sufficient for the exercise we're going through. But here it says that we're led by the Spirit. Receive the Spirit of adoption, not the spirit of bondage. I already talked about that. The third bullet. We have the privilege of calling him Abba Father. It is an intimate relationship. And there's other aspects to that from the language, but we'll just leave it at that. An intimate fellowship with your Heavenly Father. It is not that Brother Larry, and do you mind me using you over and over tonight, brother? It's just a perfect illustration. Brother Larry didn't have to say, I've got to get to the church. I hope the doors are unlocked. Do I have a key? With one eye, I hope I can see the key. I don't know if I can get in or not. I've got to get to the church. I've got to get to the altar. No. All he had to say was, Holy Spirit, whatever the next step is in my life, that for your will. If this changes everything, I lose my license, whatever it is, that's okay. That's okay. And what a privilege it is to have gone through that and watch as the Holy Spirit maneuvers you right through the consequences, through the circumstances, and brings you out the other side. Whether it's a miracle and God works it, and I've been privileged to be alongside folks where God's done some wonderful miracles. But like we've said already, it's not always the miracle of a healing or a miracle of provision. Sometimes it's the miracle of God's grace. Either one of those is a miracle. And when we experience those, it prompts us to say, Abba Father. All right, the fourth miracle there, the fourth bullet there, is the Spirit beareth witness that we, what's the blank? I like that word. It isn't become, it wasn't was, it's goodness, isn't gonna be, it's we are. We are the children of God. Isn't that exciting? We don't have to wait to get to heaven. We are the children of God. Heirs of God, verse 17, joint heirs with Christ, suffering and experiencing glory together. Experiencing glory together. Oh, verses 18 through 25. The Spirit-based hope In suffering. We're going to have to hurry here. In suffering. Compared suffering in the present with the glory of the future. Second bullet, earnest expectation, which exists because of verses 1 through 17. That's the blank there. Because of what we've already studied from Romans chapter 8, we have the earnest expectation which exists. We know it's going to happen in this life and certainly in the next. The next bullet, we become the manifestation of the sons of God. And now are we the sons of God? The next blank is delivered into our liberty as the children of God. Delivered into liberty as the children of God, verse number 21. And then first fruits of the Spirit, waiting for the adoption and redemption of the body. All right, I'm going to save verses 26 through 39 for next time. Verses 26, 27, and 28. If you walk in the challenges of life and you find yourself with 1,000 pounds on your shoulders, and you just don't know how things are going to happen, Romans 8, 26, 27, and 28 will absolutely, if you'll understand it, and we're going to take a little time to go through it, but if you'll understand it and apply it to your life, it will take off 110,000 pounds, all right? It'll take it off. It really will, because you're going to see why. It's not by having a positive mental attitude. Okay? It's not because you just ignore and you stay so busy you don't think about it. No. If you'll follow through and understand, because of everything you've already studied in Romans chapter 8 and all the other things we've already looked at in our study of the Holy Spirit, if you'll look at and go ahead and look at it this week, it's companioned with 2 Corinthians chapter 1. But this is dealing with what the Holy Spirit does for you and for me. And I promise you, it did it for me. And if it'll do it for this old hard-headed fellow, Randy Bray, God will use it in your heart and life too. When you don't understand, it's still not making sense, or this is too hard, you have none other than the Holy Spirit who's interceding for you. The one who lives in your heart, He's interceding for you. And there's some glorious things that happen as a result of His intercession. And it involves the Trinity, and it involves your circumstances. And what a joy that is. Okay?